The Florida Horse Podcast is presented by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association.
Welcome to the Florida Horse Podcast, brought to you by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. I'm Tammy Gant, and I'm joined today by Tammy Bobo with First Finds Thoroughbred. She's showcasing her two stallion Simplification and Gunavera. Let's get started. Tammy, it's so great to have you in the studio today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm very, very excited because when I knew you were coming in the studio, the first thing I thought was Simplification and Gunavera, the stallions we're going to talk about today. But I went back and watched the video from Gala last year where you accepted the award for him being honored as the Florida Horse of the Year and also three-year-old champion. So tell me a little bit about that emotion when Simplification won that award.
It was just gratifying as a whole, you know, having Antonio Sano as a trainer. Obviously, we all know the backstory, being captive from Venezuela, to have him and his family a part of that. Tristan and Valerie Demerick, who are instrumental in my two-year-old program and have been from day one, training horses like Simplification and have had great success with them. And for them to be a part of it was fulfilling for all of us. Fernando and Ricky at my barn, you know, all the hours and hard work and what they do to get these horses to go on to be two-year-olds at the end of the day. It was such a fulfilling, overwhelming moment for all of us, and I was very thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah, and you could feel it, and I think that it was that you want to recognize everyone that's involved because so much hard work goes in getting a horse to the races, and so much hard work involves keeping the horse ready for the races and then throughout their career and then now having him stand at stud. And so you mentioned your business just for a brief moment. You want to talk a little bit about what it is that you do for those people that might not be familiar with Tammy Bobo?
Sure. So I'm a pin hooker. I buy horses, mainly weanlings, that I buy to sell as yearlings with a 6, 8, or 10 month return on investment. Those babies come to our farm, mainly bought in Lexington, Kentucky. They spend approximately 10 months with us here in Ocala, and we nourish them, take care of them, raise them, keep them safe. You know, babies just find ways to get themselves hurt. And at that point, they start going into fitness programs towards the last 3 to 4 months that we have them. Fernando and Enrique pretty much oversee the daily operations of that now. I've thankfully been able to step away. At this point, I've been in the thoroughbred industry 15 years, so I feel that my business plan and protocol has definitely blessed us all and come to fruition, so they definitely know how to move forward. I buy all of the weanlings that we pinhook. All those horses are offered at public auction. We do take spring films to make sure that they are developing along properly without chips or different things that may come back and impede our ability to sell them at the public auction, which they normally sell in the spring into the early fall. With that being said, those horses are then put in the program, conditioned, and brought to the yearling sales, at which point the public have an opportunity to buy those horses. If they don't buy those horses and we believe in them or don't believe in them, sometimes you may not, but you have to go on with those horses. So then those horses go on to the yearling operation and they become two-year-olds that then will come back to mainly Ocala breeder sales and be offered again at public auction. If at that point they don't sell, I like to say I race by default. Simplification was a horse that was bought. We bought him as a weanling coming into his yearling year, and Simplification's X-arrays as a yearling to be offered at public auction were going to impact his profits. So we had paid $75,000 for Simp when he was purchased. And when we x-rayed him, he had significant sesamoiditis, which I had had a lot of experience with in the past with other horses that had blessed me along the way that had sesamoiditis and just ran through it. To me, it's growing pains in young horses. It usually fills in. Some may not always. Today, if you x-ray Simplification, he still has sesamoiditis. So the reality is you take the good with the bad. If you believe in your horse, you go on and you give him a shot. And Simplification truly came to fruition for us and showed us that maybe what people perceive as an imperfection in the thoroughbred industry in a purchase of a horse like Simplification truly do not impede their ability to run.
Well, clearly that. I mean, you can see that not only his talent, but also in his his ability to cover distances short and long and take the lead and come from behind. And he was an amazing racehorse. And you just think of some of the races that got him to the Kentucky Derby, you know, where he finished fourth. And you look at the list of horses that he raced against in his lifetime. It's really, really impressive. I just looked back and I saw that he outran Senior Buscador, who just won the Saudi Derby. So, you know, and I look back Wide Obarrio, and he have faced off several times. And so you look at some other horses that are right, you know, he's right there with all these stellar horses from those years. And his one race that really stood out that just, I think, blew the socks off a lot of people was his Fountain of Youth race. You want to talk a little bit about that, what you saw in him that day, and why do you think that people said, oh, he's definitely a Derby contender?
Every race that we entered this horse in, he just showed us more and more talent and more heart. Simplification was one of these two-year-olds that continued to build race to race to race. And if we go back and we look at the campaign that this horse was on, it was significant how much heart this horse showed us running back-to-back in three-week intervals. It's very demanding on these horses to go from the Fountain of Youth, the Mucho Macho Man, to the Kentucky Derby, to the Preakness. We really don't allow these young horses the time that they should have in between these races to allow them to come down off of these races to get their stamina and energy back. So I think that race within itself had just debuted to everyone that this horse had absolute grit, heart, and was a true racehorse at heart. And as he showed to all of us consistently throughout his entire campaign, this horse hit the board every time in the top four.
Yeah, and when I look at that, I see this is something, and all the way into his four-year-old year. And so when you look at that, you know, he's in grade three company his four-year-old year even. So he was competing at the highest level, had a long career, and then retired to stud. And this is his first year standing in Florida. And thank you for believing in him and bringing him here, because it's wonderful when we see the stallion stand here in Florida. And the same thing with Gunavera that you have here. So let's talk a little bit about his breeding. Something I did notice, and I went way back, and I think, okay, here's where some stamina is Giant's Causeway. And Giant's Causeway, I got to meet when I was down in Australia, and I saw him as a shuttle stallion. And I remembered something so distinctive, because he was with a group of stallions that are all very famous now. Galileo was there, Fu Peg, a lot of them. But when I saw Giant's Causeway, they said he's the smartest, most intelligent horse in the barn every day. And they said that, you know, he obviously was known for his stamina. And so sometimes when I watch Simp run, as you call him, I feel like I saw like a moment of that in him, you know, that stamina side.
For sure, 100%. And I think, too, if you look at horses like Simplification and you look at Epicenter, who was another great contender that whole 2 and 3 year old year that Simplification ran, these horses are bred, he and Epicenter are bred tremendously the same. And I think the pedigree carries these horses. Most horses, in my opinion, can run to their pedigrees, but you have to have that. You have to have that stamina. You have to have that distance, especially when you come into these two-turn class Saturday horses. And that's truly where the industry is focused. You don't just want a horse that's going to run short 6 furlongs and typically go to stud. You want these studs to go to those Saturday races. You want these horses to be present on the big race day. Everyone wants to race the Derby, the Preakness, the Breeders' Cup. But it takes that breeding, it takes that pedigree, and it takes that stamina to carry these horses.
For sure. And when you say Epicenter, I think about that right now. You know, you have two horses with a similar bloodline and with the same sire, yet Epicenter standing for much, much more. So we have a very awesome opportunity as breeders here in Florida to breed to Simplification for a very reasonable stud fee and have a great opportunity for return on investment if you're investing to breed to sell or if you're investing to breed to race. I mean, would you agree with that?
100%. They're both out of Candy Ride mares. If you look at them both, they're bred identical. With him having a shadow in the third dam, I think right there that in, within itself is, for a lot of pedigree people, very instrumental when they're breeding their mares and crossing their mares to Simplification. So I think with him standing in Florida, it allows the Florida breeders to breed to a horse with the same cross as Epicenter, as we were saying, for a fraction of the price. A horse, again, that ran with Epicenter, showed all the heart that he did, and he's just an absolute hard-knocking racehorse. But it was important for me to start evaluating the Florida program. I am a breeder, as we know, and I am very supportive, and I have been, and there's no secrets in the Kentucky program. And that doesn't just come from a business standpoint. I am obviously in this. It is a business for me. And so I'm always looking at numbers at the end of the year. And at the end of the day, you have to have a commercial program. So if you're not breeding what is going to be tomorrow's fashion, you're really, in my opinion, wasting your time and your money unless you're truly breeding to race, where at that point, the confirmation and a lot of the different essentials that we take into consideration buying weanlings to yearlings maybe isn't as important. But if you're truly looking to pinhook, make any type of money in the industry, these are the kind of horses you're going to have to breed to. And Florida, I felt there was a wide open market for that. And that's why I brought Gunavera first to Florida to stand at stud, to give the breeders an opportunity to breed to a horse that had won $5.5 million. He's the highest earner to ever stand in Florida. And so it was kind of a trial run with Gunavera. And then when simplification and the talk started and whether I was going to continue to run or stand at stud, after him being Florida Horse of the Year, the recognition and the support that simplification had gathered around him throughout his Kentucky Derby campaign and throughout his whole racing career, there were so many local connections that supported us with this horse. And I felt I owed, in a way, Florida that back. And I needed to show my support in our racing program and be one of the people that stand up and stand a horse like Simplification in Florida to show the public that we can bring these horses that constitute being in Kentucky and we can stand them in Florida and allow you an opportunity to breed to these horses. And they did support him. They did come to the table with Gunavera. He bred 113 mares, his first crop. And Simplification is overwhelmed at the moment. So the support in Simplification at Pleasant Acres has been tremendous from the breeders. So I feel very comfortable in my decision to stand him here.
Yeah, and I think breeders do like to see a horse that was a racehorse and a balanced horse and great confirmation and also support the hometown heroes, if you will. Right. So I'm glad to see the breeders behind him. And Gunavera, you know, you look at Gunavera, you go back and has some historical Florida bloodlines running through. You know, you've got Fapiano, you go back to Unbridled, and obviously Mr. Prospector on the top and bottom line, and Mr. Prospector stood his first few seasons here. And so the breeders gave him a chance, and then now, you know, he's a mega superstar in the world of stallions. And so, but you think about, and even Unbridled, I look at Unbridled, he's one of my favorite Florida breds of all time. And when I see him in a pedigree, I'm always paying more attention to that pedigree. And when I look at a Breeders' Cup race and I'm saying, what horse am I going to maybe wager on in the Breeders' Cup or the horses I really want to watch? I really watch to see where Unbridled comes through. And I typically see a better percentage of horses finishing in the money that have that Unbridled bloodline. And I know that's a very specific thing, but it's something that rings true when I look at it. So when I see Gunavera's bloodline, but also you say, what a racehorse. I mean, the richest racehorse to ever stand here. So there's a lot going on with him as far as if you're a breeder, here's an outstanding stallion right in your backyard.
Right, right. And he brings a lot of value. But again, it's difficult in this program that we all have in the Florida breeding and Kentucky breeding. It really doesn't matter what state we breed in. The reality is the industry has become so commercialized that they're so channeled to breeding to first-year sires or possibly a second-year sire. But once you get to these third-year sires, fourth-year sires, it's very hard to overcome unless you're breeding to run or these stallions step up and prove that they can throw a racehorse. So I'm super excited about Gunavera. We have a lot of the Gunaveras coming to the track at OBS here in March and April making their debuts. And if they have his heart and his stamina, we certainly should see some success out of these. I don't probably, you know, necessarily see them as maybe the 9-4s. I think most of these Saturday horses are not 9-4 horses. I think the educated horseman is aware of that. And they're looking for, you know, those 10-1s, those 10 flats, 10-2s even.
And how they sound coming out of that work.
Correct. And how they gallop out and how they do the breeze. I think it's so instrumental in our industry that people have grown aware that it's not that first eighth of a mile that dictates a good racehorse. So a lot of your best racehorses are carrying the distance around these tracks and they're breezing in those 10-1, 10-2 times. So with Gunavera, we have some speed coming to the track, which has been exciting to see with him being a class weekend horse. And we should see how they work over the course of the next couple of weeks.
So if someone's looking to purchase a horse, they've got a great opportunity. If they're looking to breed, obviously the two stallions are standing here, Simplification and Gunnavera. And then, you know, if someone's saying, oh, I have a Florida bred, what does that look like? Well, the Gunnavera Florida bred recently sold for $155,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're out there. So there's various ways you can look at it, whether you're looking at it, I just want to have a champion racehorse in my barn, or I'm looking at this as investment to sell this horse down the road. There's a few ways people can definitely go.
Absolutely. And Gunnavera has been so well received. He has his fan club. It's fantastic to see. I was actually at dinner last night with Christine Jones going over some numbers, and I was shocked to see the amount of traffic that Gunnavera still constitutes, being, you know, with his first crop coming to the track this year. All these horses now next year when they're foaling are on the track, proving that they can or cannot run. So I think it's a great gamble to breed to him this year, especially in Florida, especially with the young horses that people will be able to see at OBS and some of these upcoming sales.
When you talk about your business a little bit, what's the secret sauce? I know you love what you do, but I know you just have an incredible eye for horses. And so does that come from you growing up in horse country, or does that just something that you just have always had identified horses in that way?
For me, I feel that I'm just a very blessed person, honestly. I feel that I'm very blessed, and I think that truly, not to bring a different topic into this, I truly believe that God blesses us with a talent, and that's a talent that I was gifted with as a very young girl. I was blessed with a family that allowed me the ability to be around horses and grow up with horses, and truly, I've spent more hours with horses than I probably have humans in my lifetime. So understanding horses, understanding their thought process, how they think, what they're going to do before they do it, I think those are all intricate parts of being a horseman and understanding the horse. And I think for me, it's understanding the horse and what it takes. They're not all the same. You can't train them all the same. You can't treat them all the same. And unfortunately, if you do, the successful recipe usually isn't there. I'm also a firm believer that we're as good as the people we surround ourselves with, and I'm very blessed with a good team at home, and they absolutely bring everything to the table. We all enjoy what we do. We love the horses, and I've just been blessed with an opportunity to be able to do what I love, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, and I think your passion shows. I crawled on a horse before I could walk, and so I was blessed to be around horses my whole life. And I do believe that it's this eye for horses, or my ability, I feel like, to communicate to horses, like you say, see what they're about to do before they do it, mm-hmm. because you know their language, really is really a blessing. And it's just a wonderful thing. And I just hope more and more people get involved in the horse industry, because it's such a rich and rewarding opportunity to have a career, but also just to fill your heart with joy and just to watch the horses as they succeed.
It is. And it, for me, with the grandkids and Simplification taking me on the ride and us on the ride that he took us on, it's priceless. You know, I owe the horse everything. And that's another reason he's here in Florida. That horse will always have a home with us, obviously, as he should. But to share that experience with young people, and to me, the most touching part of the entire experience that I went through for the year or two that I ran Simplification was at the Preakness. I can't stress enough the importance that they bring to the table in the inner cities and the communities and the young people and old people, the older generations, that every morning they brought to the barn. And I looked so forward to interacting with these people and allowing them an opportunity to interact with Simp. And he would come out of his stall in the morning, and children that have never seen a horse or touched a horse had the opportunity to pet him or touch his nose. To me, those are the moments that I'm so thankful I was blessed with.
Yeah, and we were fortunate to have access to horses when we grew up. And so giving the next generation of youth, especially urban youth that don't necessarily get that opportunity in a city environment, that's a wonderful experience. So I appreciate you sharing that today. I appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me today.
The Florida Horse Podcast is presented by the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association.